Today, we begin a new series called The Beloved Community. And we will be talking about what it takes to build a beloved community around here and in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds. We will be building physically on this physical plant on this campus this year in just a couple of weeks. And we have to also build spiritually so that we are prepared to do what God is going to do through the physical building in our spiritual building. Amen? So today we start with the cornerstone, the image of God in our lives. And I hope during this season that you will take this opportunity to log in or come in person and participate in the Sunday morning small group, because they are really digging into the parts of this that we will not have time to dig into in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings. So make it 9 o'clock Sunday small group a priority during this series so that you don't miss out on what's going on. Hear now the word of God from Acts, the 17th chapter, the 24th through the 28th verses. The Lord who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all peoples to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted their times of existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps fumble around for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. And hear now the word from Psalms 118, the 118th Psalm, verses 22 through 24. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Lord, here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you are indeed your worthy, our worthy and holy God. So Holy Ghost, continue to blow a fresh wind and a fresh fire in this place. Pour out your spirit on us, O God. For we have come today expecting a word from you. So speak, Lord. For your servants are listening. Hide this, your servant, behind that old rugged cross, so that everything that is said and everything that is heard comes straight from you, O God. This is your servant's prayer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needs something from us. I don't know about you, but this scripture is a little troubling for me. I mean, every day we talk about what we need to do for the Lord. All the time we talk about what God needs from us. And what the Acts is saying to us today is that God doesn't really need anything from us. Yet, because we are made by God in the image of God, there are some things that God does require of us. Usually when we hear the word require in church, we tense up. And I saw some of you do it. Oh no, what's next? What is she going to say next? What do we have to do? Well, we hear in Micah 6:8 over and over again, what does the Lord require of us? So, Chris, I'm not real sure why we think that God doesn't require anything of us. We've decided that God requires us to come to church or to log on to church. That it would be okay if we gave our tithes and offering. Maybe that would please the Lord. It would be okay if we showed up for Sunday school or a small group. Maybe God would be happy with me and do something for me that I need God to do. But what the Bible actually teaches us is that we were made by God in the image of God for a purpose of God. And anytime we stand outside of God, we have a problem. Pastor, why are people shooting at each other? Pastor, why are the schools so crazy? Pastor, why are kids standing on the street corners raising themselves? Pastor, why is work so hard? Pastor, why are my kids acting up so hard? Pastor, why is it so hard to put gas in my tank and food on the table? Pastor, I don't even have a table. Why are things so hard? We're going to say in a few minutes at this table that we have failed to be an obedient church. We have failed to be the beloved community. And the problems that we have are a result of our failure to understand that we are made in the image of God, by God, for God's purpose. And when we get outside of that, we get in a lot of trouble. What is the beloved community? Many of you will remember Dr. King talking about the beloved community as the next step, a response, a maturity level step to nonviolence. But the beloved community didn't start with Dr. King. It started with a guy named Josiah. Isn't that a great name? And Josiah had an idea that the world was made up of a lot of different kinds of communities. And that everybody sort of had their own communities. Some of them, because we just are there by proximity, Miss Ruby, we're just there together, so we all hang out. And then some people are in communities because they like to do things together and they like the same things. And then other people are in communities because they have to be, like they work at the same job or they're neighbors to each other or something like that. But Josiah said that the primary community that God wants us to live in is the beloved community. And that the beloved community exists so that everyone can remember that they are made in the image of God, that they are made for a purpose, and that we have work to do to make sure that everybody is cared for. The beloved community is the ideal community, where nobody is hungry. Everybody has a place to sleep. Everybody is healthy and whole. And because of that, we can experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ promises us. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to really dig into this and dig into what the beloved community looks like today and what it looks like in God's economy, because we have a very good picture of it in Acts. As members of the beloved community, as people made in the image of God, we have a responsibility to treat everyone as if they are also made in the image of God. I wonder how that would change things, how we would treat people if we understood that they were made exactly the way we were made. How would it change things if we understood that people were on the same level playing field that we are on? I wonder how it would change things if we could look beyond and look through and look around and see that all of God's creation are worthy. And worthy of the same things that the next person is worthy of. Why don't we live in that world now? Because we've forgotten that we are all God's offspring. We have forgotten that we are all God's creation. We have decided that your zip code determines whether or not you will end up in prison. We have decided that your early childhood education determines whether or not you can go to college and your earning potential for the years to come. We have decided that if you live in a place of generational poverty, then you will always live in a place of generational poverty, and we have put things in place to keep you there. We've decided that literacy is a luxury. And that being able to go to the grocery store and buy your own groceries is for those who deserve freedom. But this is not the economy of God. This is the economy of people. And the economy of God teaches us over and over and over again that it doesn't matter what has happened to you in your life, you are worth something and you are worth being treated as a worthy child of God. That is the beloved community. What builds it up? Invitation. Invitation to reach your fullest potential. Invitation to abundant life with Christ. Invitation to step out of the box that somebody has put you in and into the life that God has created for you. What builds up the beloved community? Invitation and authenticity. If we tell the truth, my mama would say, tell the truth and shame the devil. If we tell the truth, some of us cannot be our authentic selves because we are afraid of the repercussions, the consequences of being who we fully are. Did you hear that? We have an authenticity problem because we will not be truthful about who we are and where we are in the world. On one side of the coin, I would just like you to tell me that you're afraid of me. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? I really don't know what to do with a black woman preacher, pastor. I've never seen that in my life. I never had a female pastor, and I sure never had a black pastor. So it's okay. Just be who you are and where you are, and we can work through that together. And on the other side of the coin, it's okay for you to say, pastor, I'm kind of afraid of some of these people that don't look like me. Because every white person that I have ever met has harmed me. And so I worship online instead of coming into the sanctuary because I don't quite know what to do with them. And we have said that we are building a multi-ethnic community that transforms lives. And we cannot do that if we will not have the authentic conversations that lead to the building of the beloved community. Can we tell the truth today? Is that okay? Invitation and authenticity build up the community. Gossip tears down the community. Have you ever been the victim of gossip? How does it feel? Not good. You ready to fight? Me too, girl. I have been the victim of gossip. Or as my cousin would say, girl, they just be lying on you all the time. But we do it, don't we? If we don't know something, we make it up. And if we don't like somebody, we tell a story that's not true to help somebody else not like them too. It's the way of the world. And what gossip does is it literally tears people down. We rob people of the opportunity to live into the purposeful life that God has created them for. Quiet in here. When's the last time you gossip? Tell the truth, shame the devil. You told somebody's business that wasn't yours to tell. Somebody asked you how somebody else was doing, and you were ashamed to tell them that you hadn't talked to them all year. So you just said, oh girl, she's all right. And you know somebody said that, da 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 da. When did you just fat out lie on somebody? She's so liberal, she hates Republicans. She's so conservative, she thinks that Democrats are the devil. I won't tell y'all the lies that have been told on me that have literally broken down the church. Because you can't stand to deal with yourself. We're coming back to that. What builds up the beloved community? Invitation and authenticity. What tears down the community? Gossip and assumption. Assumption is gossip's first cousin. Right? We look at somebody and we make up our mind about them. We assume that we know their story. We assume that we know what they think. We assume that we know what decision they're going to make. And we change our orientation toward them and have an attitude with them over something that never happened. And if we had just had a conversation with them, we could have avoided a whole lot of mess. I won't tell you what they say about assumptions outside of the church. Maybe some of you know. It's the truth. Invitation and authenticity builds up the church. Gossip and assumption tear down people and cause us not to see the image of God in our neighbors. One of my favorite lines from The Color Purple is, I think it pisses God off when you walk by The Color Purple and you don't notice it. I think it makes God angry when we walk by God's people and we do not see God in them. When we see somebody to hate or somebody to be afraid of, somebody who gets on our nerves, somebody who stepped on our toe 32.7 years ago, I think it makes God angry when we walk by the people of God and we ignore them as if they are not there in the first place. All people are made in the image of God. Act like it. The God who made the world, says the writer of Acts, and everything in it, this is actually Paul talking, the Lord of heaven and earth, who does not live in shrines made by human hands, i.e., you cannot control God. Nor is God served by human hands. There is nothing you can do to make God do what you want God to do. God cannot be bought or sold. God cannot be manipulated or controlled. God does not need anything from us. If you won't do it, God will find somebody else to do it. God gives himself. God gives God's self to all mortals in life and breath and all things. It's okay if you fumble around looking for God, because God is right there and you will find God. For in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. We've been talking a lot about building around here. And when we talk about building, we specifically talk about the building, right? The brick and mortar. But we're not building for the sake of brick and mortar. We're building for the sake of God's people. When we were children, we sang the song that said, red and yellow, black and white. They are what? Precious in his sight. Jesus, what? Loves the children of the world. We're not building for the sake of the building. We're building for the sake of the world. And the first block that goes down is the cornerstone. If you go out there and look, there's a cornerstone, and it tells you who the pastor was here when this building was built, what year it was built, who the trustees were, who was in charge, right? It cracks me up that we put the names of the most powerful people in the project on the cornerstone when the Bible says that it is the stone that the builders rejected. Did you hear that? In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find this scripture, the stone that the builders rejected. But it comes from Psalm, and we hear it again in Isaiah. So I think it's important because it was repeated over and over and over again in the text. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The most important block in the building. The one that holds it up and holds it all together. And the scripture goes on to say, this cornerstone is Jesus. You can have houses and land. Riches untold. You can have all the blocks you want. But if the people don't matter, we have nothing at all. Who have you rejected? Think about it. Who have you pushed aside? Who have you gone off on? Who are you angry with? Who have you said, fine then, I'm done? You need to make some phone calls this week. Pray about it. How can you see Jesus in them? And how can you help them see Jesus in you? If you've been baptized in a United Methodist Church, you have made a promise to God and to each other. You have made a promise to renounce. Do you know what that word means? Renounce, that's a big church word. It means to say, I will no longer. This thing is not a part of me ever again. Renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness. Reject the evil powers of the world. And repent of sin. And then you promised God and the community that you would accept the freedom and the power God gives us to resist evil. Not seeing the image of God in someone is simply evil. Resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. You said you would be faithful, not just to God, but to God's church and to God's people. We can't say that we will build the beloved company. We cannot say that we will build the beloved community if we can't make good on our promises to God and to our community. So today is not only Epiphany Sunday, but it's Baptism of the Lord Sunday, when we remember the baptism of Jesus the Christ. Don't you remember how when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came up too, released us from freedom and evil, and set us right with God and one another? So today we remember our baptism, and we are thankful. But before we come to this baptismal font, and before we come to partake of this holy meal, we must repent. We must humble ourselves in the sight of God and God's people and say, Lord, I didn't get it right always. Lord, I've been mad for 40 years. Release me from my anger. Lord, I'm upset because I don't think that people look the way that they should look in my lives. Somebody didn't treat me like they should. Somebody didn't do what I told them to do when I told them to do it. Be released in the name of Jesus. Start fresh and new. Remember your baptism and be thankful. If you believe that you can make your promise again, to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject evil, oppression, injustice, be faithful to Christ, your church, and God's people. Remember your baptism and be thankful. And say with me, Amen. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us rejoice in the faithfulness of our covenant God. The words should be on the screen. We give thanks for all that God has already given us as members of the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We will faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.